In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. As I told you before, that the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians focuses on the theology of the church. In chapter 1, St. Paul explained the blessings that we received being in the family of God, which is the church. And we spoke about the 10 blessings that we received from God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In chapter 2, St. Paul spoke about the transition into God's family. How we moved from being non-citizens into citizens in God's family. And from being enemies and strangers into being members in the family of God. And how the Lord Jesus Christ made peace and reconciled the Gentiles with the Jews, reconciled us with God, and reconciled the man with himself. And in chapter 3, St. Paul covers 2 points. The first point is to understand the mystery that was hidden for so long, but now in the New Testament is revealed to the church and through the church. Revealed to the church as the assembly of the believers and through the church to the rest of the world. And this chapter also was concluded by a beautiful prayer that St. Paul made for the Ephesians for the purpose of their enablement. And this is the second prayer in the letter to Ephesians. The first prayer was mentioned in Ephesians chapter 1, starting from verse 17, and in chapter 3, this is the second prayer. So let's study verse by verse from chapter 3, from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Let's read the first two verses. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. St. Paul started to say, for this reason, I, Paul, willing to do so and so. But he interrupted his thought by saying, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. So, what is the continuation of verse 1? Actually, the verse 1 continued in verse 14. If you read verse 14, it starts with the same word. For this reason, I bow my knees. So St. Paul is trying to say, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So verse 14 is the continuation of verse 1. But he interrupted his thought, and actually he added these verses from 2 to 13 to explain which reason. He's saying for this reason. So he wants to explain what reason he is speaking about. So from verse 2 to 13, he explained the reason. And this reason actually is He spoke about two points: the mystery and the ministry. The mystery and the ministry. So Saint Paul is saying, I have a reason why I bow my knees in prayer for the Gentiles. And now he will speak to us about this reason. So in other words, he started this chapter by the intention of the prayer. But he pauses to write about two other subjects, which is the mystery and the ministry. And these two subjects are the reason why he is praying for the Gentiles. And also he is referring to his status as a prisoner. When he said, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus. Because he wrote this letter while he was imprisoned in Rome, as we said in the introduction to this letter. And when he said, for you Gentiles, means the reason of his imprisonment is because he was preaching to the Gentiles. That's why he was arrested and was put in prison. That's why he said, for you Gentiles. Verse 2, he started by saying, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. If indeed you have heard. St. Paul actually is putting emphasis here about hearing. And as you will see, St. Paul is saying, if you heard so and so, I'm expecting two reactions from you. The first reaction, verse 4, by which when you read, you may understand. So, if you heard, you will understand. And the second reaction in verse 13, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulation for you. So, St. Paul is saying, if you heard so and so, that he will explain to us right now. If you heard these things, and you paid attention to these things, then you will understand, and also you will have courage in your heart. You will not lose heart at my tribulation. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ, many times he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So hearing well is an essential element in our spiritual growth, in our understanding, in our enlightenment. How well do we hear? St. Paul is telling them, if you heard. That's why this verse is a very important verse in our life. How well do we listen? How well do we hear? What he wants them to hear? Number one, he told them, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. If you know the grace of God that God gave to me in order to communicate it to you. If you know the grace of God that God gave to me, this knowledge that God gave to me in order to communicate it to you. That's why he said the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given for me for you, given to me for you, given to me in order to communicate this knowledge of the grace of God to you. How that by revelation, he made known to me the mystery as I have briefly written already. So St. Paul is saying to them, if you have heard and understood the basic features of the grace of God that I have communicated to you before in chapter 2, when I spoke about the mystery, you will be able to understand and also not to lose heart at my tribulation. St. Paul is saying, this knowledge of the grace of God was given to me by revelation. How that by revelation he made known to me? By revelation. The revelation means that God communicated this knowledge directly to St. Paul. At least at two instances. As you know, after the conversion of St. Paul, St. Paul went to the desert. And the desert, at the desert, God appeared to St. Paul and he taught him the gospel. And St. Paul actually makes this clear in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, when he said, "But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former conduct as in Jerusalem, how I persecuted the church of God beyond the measure, and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries. In my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my father. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace to reveal his son to in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, remained with him 15 days. So in these verses in Galatians chapter 1, from verse 11 to 18, St. Paul is saying that after his conversion, he went to Arabia and stayed there 3 years. And these 3 years, he taught the gospel directly from God. But God, after these 3 years, asked him to ascend to Jerusalem in order to explain to the apostles the gospel that he was learned from God and actually to receive the hand of fellowship from them. So when St. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3, by revelation he made known to me, number one, he was referring to the desert experience after his conversion that he spoke about it in detail in Galatians chapter 1. And also by revelation, he refers to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. As an author of inspired epistles, we believe that every word he wrote was written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit actually is involved in communicating the mind of Christ or the mystery of Christ to St. Paul. And St. Paul actually communicated this mystery to us through his letters and his epistles, because these epistles were written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So when he said by revelation, he refers to his experience in Arabia and also to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. How that by revelation, he made known to me the mystery as I have briefly written already. What is this mystery? What is this mystery? The mystery in the New Testament refers to the doctrine which is specific to the church in the New Testament, what we call the church age, the New Testament. As I have briefly written already, he refers to what he wrote in chapter 2. Because in chapter 2, he spoke about how before we were aliens, we were strangers, but God now made us his family. So This is the mystery that he is speaking about. What mystery? The mystery how God united the Gentiles and the Jews into one body. The Church of God and the body of Christ that is on the altar. Because both the Gentiles and Jews, after both of them converted to Christianity, now they are united in one body, the body of Christ. St. Mark was Jewish, and he preached Christianity in Egypt, who were Gentiles. And St. Mark led the Egyptian in the divine liturgy. And St. Mark and the Egyptians became one in the same body, the Church of God, and also in the body of Christ. This is the mystery, how God united the Gentiles and the Jews together. And also, he united both the Gentiles and the Jews with God. Because through the body of Christ, through the church, we are one with God, the Father. And also, he made peace within the person himself. This is the mystery of Christ. So, he told them how that by revelation, he made known to me, God explained to them, Paul, in the desert, this mystery, the reconciliation that happened between the Gentiles and the Jews, between the humanity and God, and between the person and himself, had made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already in chapter 2. By which, verse 4, by which refers to what I wrote to you, the mystery that I have explained to you, by which, when you read this mystery, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. When you read, you may understand my knowledge. My knowledge doesn't mean that you know how knowledgeable I am in the mystery of Christ, but means you will attain the same knowledge. You will have the same knowledge of the mystery of Christ that I acquired from Christ himself, and now I have to communicate it to you. So again, let us go back. St. Paul is saying, if you heard of the grace of God that was given to me, what is this? That God revealed to me his mystery. And this mystery I already have written to you and explained to you the mystery of Christ, how he saved us by his grace and how he reconciled us to him. And when you read this mystery and you hear it from me, you will understand the mystery of Christ. You understand means you will comprehend the same knowledge about the mystery of Christ. And here St. Paul emphasized also the importance of reading as well as hearing. In verse 2, he said, if indeed you have heard. In verse 4, he said, when you read. Which actually is still very important to us until this day. If you want to know and to understand and to comprehend the mystery of Christ, you need to hear it and you need to read it. You need to read it in the gospel, in the spiritual book, in the church fathers, and you need to hear it when you come to the church in preaching. In order to understand and to attain this knowledge and this comprehension, you have to read and to hear. You have to read and to hear. Verse 5, which also refers to the mystery. This mystery in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. This mystery in other ages was not made known to the sons of men. Other ages here refers to what? It refers to the Old Testament. To the era before Christ. in which the people didn't know about this mystery. So Saint Paul is saying this mystery was not revealed to the people before the New Testament. The mystery of cross was hidden. Yes, there are many prophecies in the Old Testament, but prophecies were hidden. People couldn't understand the prophecies until they were fulfilled. That's why he told them it was hidden. And now it is revealed to us, as it has now been revealed to us by the Spirit to his holy apostles and the prophets. His holy apostle and prophets refers to the whole scripture. Prophet, that's the Old Testament, and apostle, that's the New Testament. And by the Spirit means by the inspiration of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit recorded for us this mystery in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. But in the Old Testament was written in a hidden way, and the New Testament was written in a revealed way. But in order to understand the mystery in the New Testament, we have to refer to the Old Testament. For example, in order to understand the mystery of the cross, you need to study the sacrifices in the book of Leviticus. In order to understand the church in the New Testament, you need to study the tabernacle of meeting in the Old Testament. But when the tabernacle of meeting or the sacrifice was read in the Old Testament before Christ, people didn't understand the mystery. It was hidden to them. But now, after this mystery is revealed, now we can understand the mystery that is recorded for us both in Old Testament and in the New Testament, through the prophets and through the apostles. So, which in other ages before Christ was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Holy Spirit to his holy apostles, that's the New Testament, and prophet, that is the Old Testament. So God now is making this revelation available through the Holy Scripture. In verse 6, St. Paul is summarizing the mystery once again by saying that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. So now he is mentioning a summary of the mystery in verse 6. So what is this mystery? The Gentiles, those who were enemies, those who were not citizens in the family of God, those who were not members in the church of God, those Gentiles who were aliens, strangers, foreigners, now they are fellow heirs. Now, in Christ, you are eligible to inherit the kingdom of God because you became children, you became sons, and the sons are eligible for inheritance. That's why he said, fellow heirs, fellow with whom? With the Jews. So now the Gentiles and the Jews, both of them are eligible to inherit the kingdom of God. Should be fellow heirs of the same body. The same body, the body of Christ, which is the church of Christ, which is the body on the altar, the body and blood, which is the assembly of the believer, and partakers of his promise in Christ, partakers of the promise of the Father that was given to us in Christ. What is this promise? That God the Father will be God to us, will be a Father to us, and we become his people, and we become his kingdom, we become his children, we become his nation, and thus we will inherit the kingdom of God and we live him eternally. This is the promise that was given to us in Christ through the gospel. The gospel is the good news that was preached to us. Now you are not foreigners, now you are not aliens, now you are not strangers, but you are citizens. You are reconciled with God. Now you can call God the Father and call him Abba, Father. That's the mystery. So, St. Paul start from verse 7, he spoke about how God appointed him to be a servant to this mystery. He said, of this mystery, I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. I became a minister to this mystery. And as we will see, the church understood the mystery, which is the mystery of the Eucharist. This is a mystery. And truly, this is a mystery, because through the Eucharist, we became members in the body of Christ, and we became eligible to inherit the kingdom of God. And when St. Paul said, I became a minister to this ministry, to this mystery, I became a minister to this mystery, which means I officiate or I administer the divine liturgy. Because officiated the divine liturgy, sometimes we call the priest administers the divine liturgy, which means he's a servant, minister, a servant of the divine liturgy. Or when he said, of which I became a minister, doesn't mean only as officiating the divine liturgy and leading the people in the divine liturgy, but also means he preached this mystery to the people. A servant to this mystery means a preacher to this mystery to the people. But to be appointed as a priest, or as a preacher, this is not because of his good works, not because of his qualification, but this is because of the grace of God. God chose us not because we are qualified. We say in the divine liturgy, you called us, we undeserving servants. So we know we are undeserving, we are unworthy. But it is because of the grace of God, he called us to be his ministers, to be his servant. Of which I became a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given to me. Not according to my merits, not according to my qualification, but it is according to the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. Because his power is working in me. And through this power, I am ministering Christ. I'm serving this mystery. So, our success in the ministry, it's not because of who we are, but because of who God is and what God give us. And as St. Paul said, that it is by the effective working of his power. So the power of the mystery, the power of the service, comes from the omnipotence of God himself. It's not our human power, but it is the divine power that's working of us. That's why the ministry should be taken out of the scope of the priest personality. We are not serving by our qualification, but by the grace of God. And we believe, regardless of the holiness of the priest, whether he is living a holy life or not, when he stands at the altar to officiate the divine liturgy, the mystery is fulfilled. And the change happens. It is not because it does not depend on the merits of the priest, but it is because of the grace of God. And St. Paul, although after his conversion, he became a great apostle, But as David the prophet said, my sin at all times is before me. In the same way, St. Paul never forgot who he was. That's why in verse 8 he said, to me, who am less than the least of all saints. Why he said, who am less than the least of all saints, as he mentioned in another letter? Because I persecuted the church of God. I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor of the church of God. That's why he still remembers that he is less than the least of all saints. This shows the true humbleness of St. Paul. This grace was given to me that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So St. Paul is saying, this grace, what grace? The knowledge of the mystery of God. This grace was given to me to know the mystery of God in order to preach it to the Gentiles. In order to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. What is the unsearchable riches of Christ? Although we were aliens, although we were strangers, although we were sinners, but it is because of the grace of God, because of the unsearchable. Unsearchable means we cannot understand it, we cannot comprehend it. Because of the unsearchable riches of Christ, he saved us, he made us citizens, also he reconciled us with him and reconciled us with the Jews. So again, St. Paul emphasizes that he himself is the product of the grace of God. And he fully understands that he is the least worthy to receive anything good from God because of his former sins. The gift of teaching was given to St. Paul for three reasons. What are three reasons? Number one, as he said in verse 8, should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So it was given to him to teach the Gentiles, the non-believers, the non-Jews, the unsearchable riches of Christ, that now you are called to be his people, his family. You can be members in the church of God. And number two, why it was given to him this gift of preaching. In verse 9, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery. To make all see, to make the whole world see the fellowship of the mystery. What does it mean, the fellowship of the mystery? That through this mystery of Christ, now we have fellowship with God, we have fellowship with one another, and we have fellowship with myself. There is peace, there is reconciliation. That's why Abuna in the Divine Liturgy says, grace of God the Father, love of God the Father, the grace of his only begotten Son, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Now there is a fellowship. This fellowship is revealed to all people. By preaching the mystery of Christ, this fellowship is revealed to all the people. And again he repeats that this mystery, from the beginning of the ages, has been hidden in God. But it was revealed to us in Christ. But this was hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. Why St. Paul said this mystery was hidden in God, who created all things in Jesus Christ? St. Paul actually is referring to two creation. The first creation, the creation of the whole world, and God created the whole world by the Son. But also he's referring to another creation. We are created as new members in the body of Christ. This is the mystery. Now we became new members in the body of Christ. So He created us as a new creation by baptism in the body of Christ. And this mystery that we are the body of Christ is revealed to everybody, to the whole world. But number one, he was given the gift of teaching in order to teach the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Number two, to make all people, all men, see the fellowship of the mystery. Fellowship with God, fellowship with one another, and fellowship within myself. And number three, verse 10, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. So St. Paul is saying, when I preach this mystery, and you understand this mystery, and you live this mystery, and you become the new family of God, the church of God, so the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places will see the wisdom of God, the manifold wisdom of God that was revealed in the church and made known by the church. So that is the third purpose, to make known to the heavenly powers by the church, when they see the mystery fulfilled in the church, the manifold wisdom of God. So as if St. Paul is a teacher, and the curriculum is the manifold wisdom of God. He wants to teach the manifold wisdom of God. And who will see it? That is the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places. They will understand the mystery of Christ when they see in the church the fulfillment of this mystery. And as I told you, the church understood the mystery is the Eucharist. That's why in the Divine Liturgy, there is a prayer of thanksgiving. Abuna pray this prayer after communion. And this is an audible prayer. And Abuna prayed after communion in the Liturgy of St. Basil. If you want to read it with me, it is page 365. Page 365. I will read it to you. Abuna says, what manner of blessing, what manner of praise, what manner of thanksgiving can we give you in return, O lover of mankind? For while we were fallen into the sentence of death and overwhelmed in the depth of our sins, you have granted us freedom and give us this immortal heavenly food, your body and your blood, and manifested to us this whole mystery, hidden since the ages and the generations, that it may now be manifested to the principalities and the authorities in the heavenly places through the church by your manifold wisdom. So actually, this is word by word from what? Ephesians chapter 3. So this prayer that's written in sincere liturgy, it is word by word from Ephesians chapter 3. And the church understood this mystery in the Eucharist. Because when the heavenly powers see us partaking of his body and his blood and becoming one with God, having fellowship with God, having fellowship with the other Christians, with one another, and making peace within ourselves, now the manifold grace, wisdom of God is revealed to them. Why God became man? This was mystery for them. They couldn't comprehend it. This was beyond their comprehension. Why God became man? What is the wisdom behind this? But now this wisdom is revealed. God became man in order to make man son of God. So when the heavenly places, the heavenly power in heavenly places, see the fulfillment of this mystery in the church, they understand the manifold wisdom of God and it is revealed to them. The scholars were divided whether the heavenly places, sorry, the heavenly powers that St. Paul mentioned in verse 10, whether he is referring to the fallen angels or to the angels, the non-fallen angels. Because he said, verse 10, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church, to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. So, who are the principalities and powers in the heavenly places? Some scholars say they are the fallen angels, the devil and his soldiers. So, this wisdom, why God became man, was hidden. Satan couldn't understand it. But now, after the mystery of cross is revealed, now Satan, this mystery was revealed to him. Now he knew the wisdom of God. And as St. Paul said in his letter to Corinthians, if they knew, they wouldn't crucify him. But now this mystery is revealed. Some other scholars say no. St. Paul is not speaking about the fallen angels, but he's speaking about the heavenly ranks. Because although they were heavenly, and they, although they preached the incarnation of the Son of God, but again this mystery was beyond their comprehension. That's why they didn't understand this mystery except after the fulfillment of the mystery of the cross. But regardless whether he means the fallen angels or the heavenly angels, we know that the heavenly powers understand this mystery of cross through the church. Through the church means through the interaction of God with the church, giving us his body and giving us his blood. Verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Which means the economy of the cross was planned even before the foundation of the world, even before the fall of Adam and Eve. God did not react to the fall of Adam and Eve by planning for the salvation of mankind. Because if God reacted to this, this means God is not has full knowledge. God actually, before the fall of Adam and Eve, he knew about their fall and he planned for the salvation. That's why St. Paul, he said, according to the eternal purpose. So this plan of salvation was eternally planned even before the creation of the angels, even before the creation of Adam and Eve, even before the fall of angel himself, before the fall of Satan himself. It is according to the eternal purpose, but this eternal purpose was accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord through the incarnation of the Son of God. So, we are part of an eternal comprehensive program which God actually planned before the creation of the world, but now he is accomplishing it by means of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should understand that everything that happens is in the plan of God. God is not surprised by events. God does not react to event because everything is known to him. And for us, in order to be part of this economy, part of this purpose, part of this plan, we have to be in Christ. In Christ means member in the church. If you are in Christ, then you will be in the plan of God. That's why in verse 12 he said, in whom, in Christ, we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. By faith, when we believe in Christ, when we accept him as our Lord, as our God, as our Savior, when we convert to Christianity by faith in Christ, we will have boldness, access, and confidence. What does it mean, boldness, access, and confidence? Boldness means courage. You are not afraid to approach, but now you are courageous to approach. You are bold. You can speak to God freely. You can call him Abba, Father. You have boldness. And access, because the door to heaven was closed. There was a veil separating God from us. But the Lord Jesus Christ entered through the veil into the heavenly places. And now in Christ, we can enter in him into the heavenly places, into the Father, into the Holy of the Holies. That's why now we have access to the Father by the Son. That's why in the Lord's Prayer we say, Our Father who art in heaven, and we conclude it in Christ Jesus. Now we can call you Father in Christ Jesus. And confidence. We are confident that God will accept us. He will not cast me away. He will not reject me, because I am accepted in Christ. So I am bold in Christ. I am accessible to God in Christ, and I am confident in Christ, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. After St. Paul explained the mystery of Christ and the ministry of this mystery, the service of this mystery, he's telling them, now, if you really heard this mystery, and if you read this mystery, and if you understand this mystery, if you comprehend it, then you should not lose heart. Now there is a new understanding of suffering. Suffering and death and martyrdom is not the end. Actually, if we suffer with him, we'll be glorified with him. So don't be disappointed. Don't lose heart. Don't be upset when you learn that I am a prisoner because of you, because I preach the gospel of you, because I want you to be glorified. That's why he told them, I ask you that you do not lose heart at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. He said, this tribulation, this suffering is for your glory, because if we suffer with him, we are glorified with him. So, the better we understand this mystery, the less we would give way to weakness and discouragement. The better we understand this mystery, the more we'll be accept to suffer for Christ. Because now the suffering will be the way to glory. And we'll not lose heart at the suffering. We will not lose heart at suffering. After St. Paul explained to them the mystery and the ministry, he will start what he interrupted in verse 1. In verse 1 he said, for this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. So, now he's saying, in the view of the grace of God to the Gentiles, now you know that God accepted the Gentiles. Now you know that we have access and confidence and boldness. Now, after you understand this mystery, you will know why I bow my knees in prayer for the Gentiles. Now you know why I kneel down and I pray. Because this confidence, this mystery, give me confidence to speak to God. Give me boldness to speak to God. This mystery give me access to the Father. There is no enmity between the Father and me right now. And I'm confident that He will listen to my prayer. So, because of this mystery, now, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here St. Paul is speaking about bowing the knees, which means in our prayer, our body participates with the Spirit. So the posture of your body in prayer is important. That's why when you come to the church, you hear, stand up in the fear of God, or bow your heads before the God, or prostrate, worship God in fear and trembling. Because our body participates with our spirit in prayer. And St. Paul is saying here, I bow my knees in prayer before God. This prayer, which is the second prayer, as I told you, the first prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, this prayer is addressed to the Father, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we have access to the Father, so we can speak to the Father. Verse 15, from whom? From the Father, the whole family, the church, the Holy Church, in heaven and earth is named. Because the church is both in heaven and in earth. In heaven, those who departed, like St. Mary, like St. Mark, like St. Paul, like St. Peter, all those are the church in heaven. And on earth, the church on earth is us, who are still struggling in the world. So he said, from the Father, the whole family, it's one church. It's one church. The whole family in heaven and earth is named. That's why in the Divine Liturgy, we pray for the saints, the commemoration of the saints. And also we ask them to intercede on our behalf. So we are not just mentioning names, but because we are one church, whether in heaven or on earth, that's why we're praying for one another. They pray for us and we pray for them. They pray for us and we pray for them. And it's clear here that the concept of the church as a family, the victorious church and the struggling church, as the family of God, was in the mind of St. Paul while he was praying. That's why he said, from whom? From the Father, the whole family is in heaven and earth is named. Then St. Paul makes four petitions, four requests. What are the four petitions? Verse 16, the first petition, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. That is the first prayer. He is saying, I am praying that God, according to the riches of his glory, and now we know the riches of his glory, because he saved us because of the riches of his glory. He gave us this mystery because of the riches of his glory. He made us citizens and fellow heirs because of the riches of his glory. So now he is appealing to the same riches of his glory, that he may grant us by the Holy Spirit to be strengthened with might in the inner man. To be strengthened with might in the inner man, which means our inner man, our spirit, will be strong with the might of God, with the might of the Spirit. Which means it is not enough to believe in Christ. It's not enough to accept Christ. But you have to grow in faith. You have to develop your faith. Your spirit has to be grown to to be strengthened with might in the inner man. Because many people until now, they are babes in Christ. They are children in Christ. They are not strong. Like a child who is still very, very young, who is just born right now. If you see in a child, he is very, very weak, although he is born. In the same way, we are born again as Christian, but if we are children, not spiritually mature, we are still young children, babes in Christ. Just we can eat meat, not solid food, because solid food is for the mature, for the adult. That's why St. Paul is praying that after you received Christ, after you accepted Christ, I don't want you to be babes in Christ. I want you to grow, to be mature, to be spiritually mature, to be strengthened with might in the inner man. And that's why we receive the Holy Spirit in the sacrament of chrismation after baptism. Because it is the Holy Spirit who will teach us the spiritual truth, and He will make spiritual things understandable to us. And when you are filled by the Holy Spirit and controlled by the Holy Spirit, then you will be strengthened with might in your inner man. So the first petition or the first request is to grow in your faith, to develop your faith, to be spiritually mature, to be strengthened with might in the inner man by the work of the Holy Spirit. The second petition, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. When you grow in spirit, when you are strengthened in your inner man, then you will experience Christ. Christ will be revealed to you. You will see Christ in your heart. Christ will dwell in your heart by faith. So you can see, I have seen Him. I have heard Him. I have touched Him. Christ will be a life experience to you, a lived experience to you. Not just something you heard about, but a lived experience that you experience in your life. That's why after you are strengthened by Spirit, then Christ will be revealed to you, the revelation of God. And also, you will be a place of rest for Christ. Christ will look at you and will say, this is the place of my rest. I will dwell here. هذا هو موضع راحتي ها هنا أسكن لأني أردته. This is the place of my rest. I will dwell here because I have desired it. So when you are strengthened in the Spirit, Christ will be revealed to you, and also Christ will choose you to be a dwelling place. When you are filled with the Spirit, what is the fruit of the Spirit? Love. So if you are filled with the Spirit, you will bear the fruit of the Spirit. So you will have the love of God in your heart. And when Christ dwells in your heart, who is Christ? Christ is God, and God is love. That's why when the person is filled with the Spirit and having Christ in his heart, he will be rooted and grounded in love. Because now you bear the fruit of the Spirit, love, and you have Christ in your heart, and Christ is love, because God is love. So you'll be rooted and grounded in love. That's why he said that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height. That is the third petition. That you may comprehend the width and the length and the depth and the height. if you look at what just I draw right now, it's like what? It's a cross. The width and the length and the depth and the height. So it's a cross, three-dimensional cross. So actually St. Paul is saying, now when you are rooted and grounded in the love of God, you will be enlightened to understand the love of Christ. You understand the mystery of the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The mystery of the cross is the mystery of the love. You will understand the three dimension of the mystery of the cross, which is the width, the length, the depth, and the height. You will understand every aspect of the cross. So first you will be strengthened, developing your faith. Then Christ will be revealed to you. Then you will be enlightened to comprehend all the truth. Every aspect, this is three dimensions, to comprehend all the truth, the mystery of the cross, which is love of Christ, which passes knowledge, as he said. To know, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, which passes knowledge. But I want you to pay attention. St. Paul said a very important word here in verse 18. May be able to comprehend with all the saints. While you are member, you will understand only with all the saints. So this enlightenment happens with all the saints, which means through the church, if you are an active member in the church. But if you are outside the church, you will not be able to understand. You will not be able to comprehend. If you want to make a personal relationship with Christ, but without the church, so just you want one-to-one relationships without having fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ, you will not be able to be enlightened. You will not be able to comprehend the mystery of Christ. Because what is the mystery of Christ? The mystery of Christ to reconcile you with God and you with your brother. So how can you understand this mystery, the fellowship with one another, while you are outside the fellowship of the church? That's why this enlightenment happens only inside the church and in the church. That's why he said, with all the saints, with all the saints. You cannot understand the mystery of the cross outside the church. And then the fourth petition, he said, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You may be filled with all the fullness of God. What does it mean to be filled with all the fullness of God? It means to be transformed completely to the likeness of God, to be Christ-like, to be in the likeness of Christ. That is our goal. Be perfect as your Father is perfect. Be holy as your Father is holy. So these are the four petitions that St. Paul made, and actually these are the four steps of the spiritual growth, and transformation. It starts by growing in faith. It's strengthened with might in the inner man by the Holy Spirit. Then Christ will be revealed to you. Christ will dwell in your heart. Then you will be enlightened. You will understand, comprehend the mystery of cross, the depth, the height, the length, the width of the love of Christ that passes knowledge. Then you will be transformed. You will be filled with all the fullness of God. You will be transformed into the to be Christ-like. So these are the four steps, growing in faith. Second step, revelation of Christ. Third step, enlightenment. Fourth step, transformation. And he concluded his prayer by doxology, by praising God. In verse 20, he said, now to him, to Father, to the Father, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. St. Paul is saying God is able to do what we cannot do. Not only because what we cannot do, maybe I can comprehend it and I can think about it, but I cannot do it. But St. Paul is not saying God is able only to do what we cannot do, but also he is able to do beyond our thinking and beyond our imagination. To him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Above that we ask or think. God's work to us is not according to our prayer or according to our understanding, but according to the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. That's why he said, according to the power that works in us. So when God replied to our prayer, God does not respond to our prayer according to the words that we asked. Actually, this will be a big problem if God responded according to our thinking or to our understanding, because we are limiting God to our thinking or our understanding. But because of his goodness, he responded to us according to the power of the Holy Spirit. And actually, the same words we say in the Gregorian liturgy, page 263, we say, for you are God, the merciful, who desire not the death of a sinner, but rather that he returns and lives. Restore us, O God, to your salvation. Deal with us according to your goodness, O you, who do more than we ask or understand. O you who do more than we ask or understand. Many times you say, I cannot imagine any solution to my problem. That's fine. Yes, because you are limited in your thinking. You are limited in your understanding. But although you cannot imagine any solution, but God does exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So when you pray, don't let your imagination or your thinking a stumbling block to limit God. But tell him, I trust that you do more what I think or I understand or I ask. Then he concluding verse 21, to him, to this very powerful God, be glory in the church. God is glorified in the church because the church executes his plan. We fulfill his plan, we fulfill his economy. That's why God glorified in the church. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, who also executed the plan of God, accomplished the plan of God. To all generations, forever and ever, amen. God, to him, glory throughout all ages, from now until eternal ages, even beyond the end of time itself, forever and ever, amen. Glory be to God, forever, amen. There are some questions. Let me discuss with you. First question, what is the mystery? St. Paul in this chapter repeated several times the word mystery, the knowledge of mystery. What is a mystery? لا اللي جاوب يقف كده عشان اسمع. اتفضلي. The mystery is the Eucharist in which, thank you, in which, you know, the bread and wine is changed into the body and blood. And through this mystery, through the Eucharist, God reconciled us to himself and reconciled us, the Gentiles, to the Jews, and reconciled the person to himself. So this mystery, which is the mystery of reconciliation, mystery of salvation, is the Eucharist, and it is the mystery of salvation that was revealed to us through the cross. St. Paul spoke about his ministry as a preacher and also as a priest officiating the liturgy. And he said the focus of the ministry or the purpose of the ministry, three things. What are the three things? He is the focus of the ministry. Number one, to teach the Gentiles about the unsearchable riches of Christ. Number one. Number two, to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. To make everybody see this mystery. And number three, to reveal to the heavenly powers, to reveal the heavenly powers what? The manifold grace and wisdom of God that was made known by the church. يبقى ثلاث حاجات. To teach the Gentiles about the unsearchable riches of Christ. To make all people see the fellowship of the mystery. How we have fellowship with Christ, with one another. And number three, to make known to the heavenly powers and principalities the manifold wisdom of God that was revealed by the church. St. Paul mentioned about stages of transformation. What are the stages of the transformation? Growing in spirit, then revelation of Christ, number three, enlightenment, number four, transformation, to be Christ-like. And what are the four petitions of St. Paul prayer? He made four petitions. First petition, to be to be strengthened. Look at this thing. First petition, to be strengthened with might in the inner man by the Spirit. Second petition, Christ may dwell in your heart. Third petition, to comprehend the width, the length, the depth, and the height, which is the mystery of the cross. The to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. And number four, to be filled with all the fullness of God, to be in the likeness of Christ. Glory be to God forever and ever.